He's owed Robinson, who scored by Greenwich, so he took that catch very low down. It was one lifter. Robinson tried to get out of the way of it. Patterson's first wicket in Test cricket, so a great cause for jubilation here at Sabina Park.
It's still a formidable fighting machine, things are looking tonight. As Ambrose bowls and bowls full, legs stumbled on the ground. Thorpe is out, bowled Ambrose, I think again just beaten by the sheer pace and the mental wearing down of playing that pace. Thorpe looks almost mesmerized as he walks away.
And Harris Golding coming in again from the northern end. On the way now to bowl to Boycott. Boycott
ball! Legs up on the ground. A ball of full length. Boycott got in behind it. And the leg stump plucked out of the ground and set back a long, long way.
Some of the old generals have retired.
Glory days indeed, and Michael Holding, delighted to have you sitting beside me. Thanks. I know you've got to rush shortly, but thanks for getting us underway here. How much of a crisis do you think West Indies cricket faces at the moment?
A big one, certainly a very big one. You know, people are saying that we are going through a phase of reconstruction and, you know, trying to rebuild a team, that sort of a thing. I don't see any progress. I see us going backwards. I think we are in reverse. And we need to at least get to neutral and then try and go forward. When you look at what's happening out on the field here, as you say, you know, that's not the West Indies team that you're accustomed to. But at the same time, we see sparkles. We see a few instances where you see some talent, some bright talent. Whether it's a bit with the batting, whether it's a bit with the bowling, Dwayne Bravo, for instance, has been a revelation on this story. You can see that that is a young man that has a long way to go. And then at times you look at the fielding and you see some good catches, see a good bit of fielding, and then you see some absolute rubbish at other times. So it's obvious that the ability is there, the talent is there. Perhaps not so much in the bowling department, as a lot of the West Indians have grown to and have gotten accustomed to and would like to see. But there is enough talent there for them to do a lot better.
Is it more than just the team management, or do you think that the immediate problem is the team management that's here?
The immediate problem is what is happening off the field, which is being reflected in what is happening on the field. As I said, there is talent there. But unless that talent is harnessed and someone close enough to that talent can get the right discipline and attitude out of these young men, we'll continue to slide. It's as simple as that.
So a strong person, I mean, where do you go looking? Do you think you might actually look outside West Indies to try and sort out the situation?
Well, apparently that is what is going to be happening. I understand that the West Indies Cricket Board now have their policy that the next coach will be from outside of the Caribbean. And whoever this coach is, he'll be given sole responsibility for the running of cricket with the West Indies senior team. He'll be given every power that he needs. He'll be given the opportunity to even employ additional coaches. He'll be handing the West Indies Cricket Board a budget for what he thinks he needs. West Indies Cricket Board will say yes or no, and then he'll take it on from there. He'll even have the powers of selection, because the selectors as they are now, their roles will be changed apparently. They will no longer be selecting the 12 or even the final 11, anything like that. They'll be used more as scouts. And the coach and the captain apparently will be the men responsible for the final selection. And of course, the coach will be involved in the selection of the squad from which they'll be selecting as well.
Yeah.
So the selectors will no longer have the role that they do have. The selectors will not even have the role of advising or nominating whoever the captain will be. That will be all down to the new coach.
Which is a vital, I mean, you're suggesting there is going to be a new coach. I mean, a new captain as well, is that needed, do you think?
Well, in my opinion, definitely. I don't see Lara taking us forward. Just looking at, forget everything else about Brian Lara that people might think is good or bad off the field. Just looking at him on the cricket field as the captain of the West Indies team, some of the things that he has dumbfounded the biggest critics anywhere. The smartest cricketing brain, the simplest man on the street, he has dumbfounded them all. Today he dumbfounded Corey Collymore with that field placing of 8 men on the offside and 1 man on the onside. Corey was bowling so well before that, and he just totally got confused. What do I do with this field? So, you know, I can't say where Brian Lara is brilliant tactically to say, okay, go forward with Brian Lara. He's a great batsman. And that's where it ends. I have said that for years. I have no reason to change that opinion.
I know you've got to shoot, Michael. One last question for you. Can you see a short-term fix, or is this really a genuine slump that you can't see an end of at the moment?
No, I don't see a fix in the true sense of the word of a turnaround, and West Indies starting to beat people left, right and center. That is not what I'm looking for. As I said before, August, we are in decline. We are in reverse. I want to see a neutral first. I want to see a stabilizing of the team where we can go out there and we see a real team out there and you see some purpose. Even if they are not winning test matches, you see a purpose. When you look at this team right now, they are just a bunch of fellas out there. Things are going well, you see them all getting together, high fives and hugging each other, that sort of thing. When things aren't going so well, everyone is walking around the field as if they are on death row. That's not a team. I want to see a team happening out there where they can look as if they're out there with a purpose, and then hopefully they'll start winning some games.
Okay, Michael, obviously, I know you've got a rush. Thank you for joining us from your Sky commitments.
No problem, my pleasure.
Do appreciate it. We're going to listen to one of your old friends, actually. Michael, one of your old sparring partners, another of those fast bowlers who used to terrorise English bats. An old friend of mine, too, Andy Roberts. Where does he feel West Indies cricket's going wrong?
I really can't put a finger on it, because I've been so depressed for the last 9 years, the state of West Indies cricket and where we're heading. As far as I can see, we're heading on a path to nowhere in terms of development. There's actually, in my estimation, nothing going on in terms of development, and you know, it's too long, and it's happening, you know, to a country that has produced some of the greatest cricketers in the world. It hurts.
Is it too late to salvage a situation, though? I mean, you're painting a very gloomy picture there.
Nothing is too late to salvage. If we have proper direction, we need to have a more vibrant development program. Not in terms of coaching. What we need is more participation. I don't think we have the amount of people playing cricket now as we used to in the past. You drive around Antigua now and you don't hardly see anyone playing cricket in the streets or in the back streets or in the backyard. As a matter of fact, we used to think that they're playing basketball, but when you drive around and look at the basketball courts, it's the same problem we're having. So it seems as though that the kids today are more taken up with computers and televisions and computer games. If you go into these arcades, you will find a lot of kids after school instead of finding them on any sporting field.
I suppose that's the same for virtually everywhere in the world, isn't it? I mean, certainly people would claim here that children are more interested in that sort of entertainment these days than playing. But do you think a successful West Indies side, would that change things? Would that lift the interest from the young people in West Indies, do you think?
I think if West Indies can win two or three series away from home and the cricket is shown more on television, that may bring back, you know, some kids into the game. When you go to the schools, there is interest from the 5 to 10 year old. There's a lot of interest. The problem we're having is once they get out of that age group and into the 13, 14, that is where there isn't any interest.
It must be awfully difficult to try and bring a region like the West Indies all together to try and focus on this problem, isn't it?
Well, that is the duty of the West Indies Cricket Board. And I have served on the cricket committee for a couple of years. And one of my main focus and one of my main areas of contention was that I see no West Indies Cricket Board development program. The territories may have their own program, yes, but West Indies Cricket Board must take the lead, and they must have a program that the rest of the territories follow. I don't think the territories have as much access to financing as the WICB. Don't give the money to the territories as they've been doing now, because the territories are not using it for development purposes. They're using it to pay other bills.
Will it come down to fast bowlers building West Indies cricket again? And it's caught the imagination so much of the people there in the West Indies, isn't it? With you and Michael and Colin Croft and these fellows all roaring in. This sort of conveyor belt suddenly started, isn't it? It sort of got the whole thing rolling. I was wondering whether it would be something particularly, you know, a couple of really top quality fast bowlers from somewhere might just restart that conveyor belt again.
Yeah, but the problem we're having now, I guess, is that we are not producing fast bowlers. As a matter of fact, I will say that some of our selection policies are discouraging young fast bowlers, because we have used, I would say, between 10 and 15 fast bowlers in the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, that's not right. We need to give some of these bowlers time in which to settle. It appears to me as though one of the selection policies is that if I pick a young fast bowler, if I give him 2 test matches and he don't get 5 or 6 wickets in an innings, then he's out. We seem not to be able to wait for our players to develop, because we are in such hurry to get back to the top that we are trying, everybody we see with potential, we try to get them straight into the team.
Is there any evidence from an argument that I've heard, Andy, and that obviously the development of cricketers of Asian origin, that there are more and more coming in, especially in the Southern Caribbean, wonderful players, wonderful batsmen, spin bowlers. Traditionally, you simply don't get fast bowlers from those sort of players, do you? Is that a problem as far as it's purely talking fast bowling here or not?
Well, it is a problem as far as fast bowling is concerned. That is where our future in batting is coming from. When you look at the youngsters around the region, the majority who perform at under 19 level is the Asian Caribbean people. In the southern area, they're the ones who seem to be playing more and more cricket. In the northern area, you'll find the more African Caribbean people playing. That is where your fast bowling comes from, John. But I don't think that we can sit back and wait for the next generation of top quality fast bowlers to get back at that level. So we have to develop bowlers. You know, we have to develop, be it a spinner or a swing bowler. Because in the past, we've had Asian Caribbean medium pacers who swings the ball a lot in the Caribbean.
Mm.
And as you know, not many people can swing the ball in the Caribbean.
Sure.
But what we need to find are match-winning bowlers.
Are you so depressed that you see cricket dying out in the Caribbean? Is it that real a threat, do you think?
It has crossed my mind more than once when I look at the amount of young men in Antigua who are not taking part in sports. You know, it grieves me.
There's a wonderful opportunity, Andy, with the World Cup coming up in 2007, yeah, for the region, for West Indies Cricket Board to get together, to unite, to really focus on the future of West Indies cricket. Do you think that opportunity will be seized, or might it be wasted?
Well, I think it might be wasted with an insularity. I must tell you that. I don't see us building a team for 2007, which is what we need to do now.
You talk very emotionally about the state of West Indies cricket, Andy. I mean, if it does go wrong as far as the performances of the World Cup are concerned, I mean, do you think that really is a watershed?
If we don't perform well in 2007 World Cup, I think we have a hard time coming back. Because we're going to lose the support. Because we still, West Indies cricket still have a lot of support in the Caribbean, you know. There's still a lot of support. And people are now getting disgruntled about how the team is performing. People are not satisfied. People feel that we have too many players who are just walking about with their head and shoulders above the earth. They need to get their feet back planted on earth. We need to have more people playing cricket who have pride and who are not only playing it to make a dollar. And the only way that they're going to succeed is that a little bit of the pride must come back into it.
There you go, an emotional Andy Roberts speaking to me a few days ago, speaking on behalf, I think, of many former West Indian players who we've been mixing with over the last, well, going back to March, of course, when we were first went to the Caribbean. It's lunch here, 413 for 9, incidentally, on the second day. And we've heard from Michael Holding, we've heard from Andy Roberts, coming on first change, probably downwind. Ian Bishop, another of the great West Indian fast bowlers of yore. Great to see you, Ian. Thanks for coming. Do you go along with Andy's comments there?
Well, I think you got it wrong on two or three counts. I think downwind, I'd probably be coming up into the wind, knowing the guy's ahead of me. And the word great is overused. I think that doesn't really apply to me. Andy speaks to it. Every time I speak to him, whether it's on air or off air, he speaks with such compassion. And I just caught the back end of the interview, and I wholeheartedly agree with what he said, particularly on the point of what it will take to get West Indies back. I think it's more than just fast bowling. It's good bowling, it's good fielding, and it's good batting. The insularity in the Caribbean, I think there are a lot of territories or a few territories who are holding on and seeking their own interests as opposed to the bigger picture West Indies cricket, and I think they need to take a shot in the arm as well. So yeah, from what I heard, I agree.
There's something about West Indies cricket, the colour, the excitement, the noise. Can you see a West Indies crowd full in Barbados or Kingston watching a good West Indies team but bowling spinners and fiddly medium pacers, albeit good ones? Or does West Indies cricket need these fast bowlers tearing in, the rattling of the cans to generate the interest again, do you think?
Well, I'll answer that in a wide scope. I think every team in the world needs a couple of very good fast bowlers, because fast bowlers, by their strike rate, take wickets cheaper than spinners, or more effectively anyway, in terms of balls per wickets. I think history has shown that, apart from the Muralitharans, who's probably a freak of nature. But generally, I think West Indies cricket needs good bowlers, good spinners, good medium pacers, good fast bowlers, whatever it'll take to get 20 wickets in a match. Okay, history has shown that we won in 1950 here in England, Ramadan and Valentine, and then thereafter 1960 Griffith and Hall, and then after that it was any number of them that you can think about, fast bowlers. But times change, the wickets are flatter, and I think we have to adapt. We can't always look back and think, well, it was so in 1955, it should be so now. Whatever the situation presents itself, that's the way we've got to go.
You come from a very interesting island, don't you, Trinidad? I mean, interesting in terms of racial mix, the cricket that's played, and that sort of thing. Are there more and more Asian cricketers playing, if I can use that sort of expression, if you like, bringing to the table their great skills of wrist bowling, spin bowling, beautiful batsmanship? And are the likes of you, a Trinidadian fast bowler, least likely to come through now, do you think?
I don't think so. The mix or the makeup of the Trinidad and Tobago cricket team that plays at first class level, predominantly in my era, has been, I suppose, of East Indian descent. A higher percentage of the youth under 19 and under 15 teams have been predominantly East Indian. I think the balance of power in Trinidad cricket, Trinidad and Tobago's cricket, has moved away from the north, which was the stronghold, the base of producing all our cricketers, to the central and southern parts of Trinidad, which predominantly is occupied by people of East Indian descent. And we've got a lot of batsmen coming through, a lot of spin bowlers, wicket keepers coming through. Ravi Rampal, the first West Indian.
Well, you've worked with a lot, haven't you, Coach?
Yeah. So I think whatever the race that comes through, I think we're glad to have that talent. It doesn't mean that fast bowling is necessarily unique to African descent or Indian descent. But yeah, I think in Northern Trinidad, there's not as much cricket being played as when I was coming through, and that's where you get a huge, I think, I suppose, African population as well.
Yes. You were inspired by the fellows you just heard from, though. Were you, Roberts and Holding, these sort of fellows? That's why you took up the game and bowled fast.
I was. I came up in the early 80s when Michael Holding, Andy Roberts, Malcolm Marshall and all of those guys were going great guns, and then in 1985-86 we got Tony Gray coming into the scene, who was similarly inspired by those guys. So when you've got role models, and I looked at these guys in school and tried to bowl, run in like Michael Holding, bowl like Joel Gann, and follow through like Colin Cross.
That's
probably why I broke down anyway. No, but you need role models, and you need someone to set a trend and be a catalyst to kick things off. Spinners might probably be the way forward. A couple of good spinners, I don't know whether we can get those through, but certainly we've got good slip fielders as well. When we had those very quick bowlers, very good slip fielders
everything.
Catching, we had very good batsmen, opening batsmen particularly.
Stay with us, Ian. And Tony Cozzi will join us in a second, but to answer some of the criticisms raised by Andy Roberts and others, I turn to the chief executive of the West Indies Cricket Board, Roger Brathwaite. Is he surprised by the strength and the volume of the criticism?
Once you know how passionate West Indians are about their cricket, and we have not had a history of losing, particularly for this stretch of time, it's understandable.
To answer one or two of Andy Roberts' comments, Roger, how can you invigorate people, youngsters, how can you get them playing cricket again?
We are doing our kiddies cricket program, getting cricket into the schools, and we're going to be focusing on that, getting them at that young age and getting them interested in cricket. And hopefully, if some of them don't go on to be players, at least they become fans of the games or get into the game in some other way. But certainly, we have to attract the youth, and we have to go out and get them. I don't think the days where they're naturally just coming to the sport exist, and we're actually going to have to go and seek them out and try and get them interested in the game.
What about the point that Andy made, that he said that after his time on the board, he saw no West Indian development program? Now, is there something in place now?
If you look at what we're doing at the under 15 level, the under 19 level, in terms of our development programs, our development tournaments, and also using the opportunity during those tournaments to develop the players on all fronts, bringing in experts in a number of fields, bringing in former cricketers, and using the opportunity when we've got them together to develop them further. We're doing things such as developing databases of all our players across the region, tracking them, seeing how they're performing, building up databases on them in terms of filming them, being able to examine their techniques. So there are a number of things which are going on.
What about the suggestion from Andy that he feels that some of the countries are spending their development money on simply paying the bills to keep themselves going?
I'm not exactly sure what some of them are doing with the funds. They are earmarked for development. But also, I think we have to face certain realities. The West Indies Cricket Board has always been in a position where its finances have never been strong. And certainly we're at a stage now where they're under greater pressure than ever with some of the changes which have happened in international cricket. So certainly a number of our member boards are in financial straits. And certainly when you're drowning, one of the first things you have to do is just try and survive. And I think they're trying to do that. And we're trying to give them as much assistance as we can in raising the standard of cricket within their respective territories.
Yeah, it's obviously a problem if money earmarked for the development of cricket, which is, you have these plans, but if the money is being used simply to keep the cricket grounds going or whatever, then clearly the development isn't going to happen.
Well, no, the development is happening, but obviously to also have development, you've got to pay for some of the things you need. And if you look at some of our islands, if the Windwards want to assemble a team, unlike in Barbados where everyone's on one island and can very easily get to a meeting point, in the Windwards and Leewards, they've got to travel by air. Now, these things are expensive.
Yeah.
We have development officers now in place in most of the islands, and these development officers are part of the strategic development plan that we've had for the last 3 years.
One of the criticisms I've heard from commentators and pundits, West Indian ones, is that actually there's far too much player power in the West Indies at the moment. Is that the case? They're a militant lot.
I would say that we have a good relationship with the Players Association. Obviously, I think they're under new leadership and are pushing the boundaries somewhat. But I think at the end of the day, I think they recognize the role that they should be playing, which is one about looking out for their members in terms of their welfare and the various programs, both while they're playing and for life after cricket, and that the administration of cricket is managed by the West Indies Cricket Board. Where we will run into difficulties is if they fail to recognize that and feel that they're actually running cricket. This is a partnership, and we would hope that and do believe that they see it that way.
You're going to be announcing shortly, I think, a new structure, aren't you? A new team structure with more power to the coach and that sort of thing. Is that going to assist at the actual international level of the West Indies team?
We have, over the last 3 months, taken a look at all the various models being employed, not only in cricket, but in professional sports in general. And we felt that there were a number of weaknesses in our system. The fundamental pillar is that the West Indies team is going to be treated as a business unit, where they're going to be given the total priority, how we maintain our image at an international level, how we generate funds in the game. And we will shortly be going out looking for a manager for that unit who will set the strategic direction, have reporting to him, a head coach, and also, and as part of that role, will actually be traveling with the team as a team manager. So he has a dual role in effect. The coach himself will have a greater say. He, along with his fellow selectors, will come up with a selection philosophy, which I think is important. I think one of our shortcomings has been that over the last 3.5 years, we have cycled some 64-plus players through the West Indies team. Now, that's certainly not good. We're making some fundamental change. We're bringing accountability to a number of the positions where the buck has to stop. And we are firm belief that this will have a great impact on the team. Cricket defines who we are as West Indian people, and always will. And there will always be youngsters out there who will want to take part in the game and will always want to play and represent the West Indies.
That's Roger Brathwaite, the Chief Executive of the West Indies Cricket Board. Tony Cozier has joined Ian Bishop and myself here at lunch on this second day. 413-9 is the score at lunch. Tony, are you encouraged by what you heard from the board there?
Well, I've heard it before. And, you know, nothing has improved. And I think that is the real concern of everyone on this tour, from Ian Bishop, who is here with us, and Sir Viv Richards and Michael Holding and many others. This tour has been very much like every other tour, every other series that we've gone through for the past 5 or 6 years, that nothing has improved. If anything, things have got worse. The fielding, certainly, is the worst that I've seen from a West Indies team in my experience, and that's a fairly long time. It's and people are laughing, and that is the most demeaning thing you can have in international sport, when your efforts on the field, if you're on the tennis court, whatever, that the public is actually deriding you. And that's what's happened here at the Oval, that's what happened at Lord's, and it's fielding, which is an aspect of the game which you can improve on simply by working and by practice. What has happened to the West Indies team here in the field has absolutely depressed me, absolutely.
But the question is, for both of you, I suppose, is what you're seeing out here this morning, which wasn't terribly good, a reflection of the whole of West Indies cricket? I mean, is it, are we talking right back to the basic roots of West Indies cricket?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
This is the shop window, if you like, that we're seeing here.
Oh, yes. I mean, there's no question about it. The board itself has bungled over and over. For instance, we saw this morning with Chanderpaul, a very experienced player, trying to flick a ball back in and getting it completely wrong. Comedy of errors out there. The same thing happens at the board. They named a team for the Champions Trophy tournament without naming a captain, when everyone knew the captain was going to be Brian Lara. So it created all sorts of discussion, all sorts of speculation, which was unnecessary. We were in South Africa, where they had to name a team for the one-day series, separate from the test series, midway through the tour. And the team came out with Carlton Boy in the side, in addition to Ridley Jacobs, and no Shivnarine Chanderpaul. And the explanation was that the team was rung by telephone to someone on the board. That someone on the board called his personal assistant or somewhere else and said, here's the team. He'd scribbled it down, and instead of putting Chanderpaul, he put C. Paul. The other fellow read it as C. Ball and put it in as C. Ball. Now, exactly. Now, what's happening on the field here is just the same thing.
West Indies cricket is doomed for life. I don't think you can ever say that, but certainly in the immediate future of West Indies cricket, it is ultra important given what has happened over the last 10 or 12 years. So yeah, it must come off good as a showpiece, and the West Indies must do very well in it as well for it to have the type of effect.
Do you agree with that?
Sorry. Yeah, certainly. I think the West Indies now are gradually becoming an irrelevancy in world cricket. With the results that we have had over the last 5 or 6 years, where everyone who is everyone is beating the West Indies very badly. It's not to say that the West Indies are losing, like New Zealand, for instance, lost in the first 3 test matches of this series. New Zealand played competitive cricket even though they were beaten by the England team. The West Indies are losing to every team very badly, getting bowled out for 47 and 94 and losing 8 wickets in the space of an afternoon and being bowled out for very low scores. A team which is on paper certainly possess very strong batting. and only Zimbabwe and Bangladesh now lie below the West Indies. And both Zimbabwe and Bangladesh made the West Indies fight very hard. First of all, to avoid defeat in the first test in Zimbabwe, and then, as far as Bangladesh were concerned, struggled to draw the match.
Forget about the area. Let us think about the people who represents us. I believe one way to go, and this is my opinion, and I think it's opinion of a lot of people who have been around before, where there are too many people, as you spoke about, maybe all the islands who are involved, too many people who are involved in the decision making. Take, for instance, like myself, who have been maybe a member of the selection panel chairman and all that. If I may be critical of maybe the way things are run, then guys won't be thinking on the positive side of things, of maybe saying, hey, that's a good suggestion. Let us look to take this suggestion forward and try and make use of it. We do not do that anymore. What we do, we use the negative side of things, and whenever it comes around to vote next year, Aviv Richards may not be there. And I got a little bit tired of that. I felt that there's so much incompetent people who have made these decisions, and after all, with the contribution that I felt that people like myself and all the other guys would have made to West Indies cricket, I'm not going to have these Mickey Mouse guys anymore make any decision whether or not I'm going to be up for a selector or not. No more. I'm not going to have that until we change all that stuff, where so many Mickey Mouse people who are making decisions in decisions of people who would have made serious contribution to West Indies cricket. And some of these guys who are presently on our board, who makes whatever decision and all that, most of these individuals, and I will say this, and it may sound harsh, Jonathan, but I think it's very, very fair. There's a lot of people who goes holding the toilet paper every time.
Okay, well, that is fairly harsh. Would you say that the sort of factional fighting now is worse because of the current results? Or has it always been
difficult? It has always been like that, but maybe you had stronger individuals. Strong individuals who were in the past and wasn't able. I tell you why West Indies cricket survived over those years when you had Clive Lloyd, who was in charge. And I'm going to tell you this plainly. It was the fact that Clive Lloyd was a strong enough personality, and he wanted to get his things done, and board never had any say. That's why. They have a lot of say now, and you see the situation that we're in.